No.
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 What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to No Sir, I Don't Like It. I'm Carmen Morales, your host, and my co-host. The other person whose podcast this belongs to is Brian Vokey. What's up?
Not much.
Okay. We are joined today by the very funny Ryan Singer, buddy. Hey,
hello.
How's it going?
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm excited to talk about some...
Oh, shit.
No, sir, I do not like
it. Son of a bitch. I'm actually, I'm very excited because I'm surrounded. Ryan's got a lot of Georgia references around this house, including on his chest. He's
wearing it. Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's all very kind of serendipitous.
Yeah, it's very nice. There's some drive-by truckers posters, some Star Bar shirts.
And the show where we met was so fun.
Yes,
and another one's this Saturday, it turns out.
Yes.
What is time for this?
Time has no meaning anymore.
But yeah, I'm doing it.
So the first time I met Ryan, we reenacted Pretty Woman, and I was Julia Roberts.
It was great.
And he was Richard Gere. I kissed him.
Aw, how beautiful. Wonderful.
And then I really longingly stared at you while you enjoyed the... I watched you watching the opera.
That's right.
Yeah, like, look at this primitive beast woman I've brought to high society. Like, I get to enjoy her.
You saved her.
Yeah, I saved her. And it was that movie, rewatching that movie.
It's brutal.
30 some years, you know, just over 30 some years later, is like, you know, you really see the paradigm shift in the way, especially in the last couple of years,
specifically,
in the way women are treated in movies as just being people who have thoughts.
Oh, we can think for ourselves now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it has begun, right? we've begun to let women think for themselves.
I think
to a degree.
It's so new and refreshing.
Yeah, I think the writer of that movie thought he was writing an empowered woman character, too. I really, if you talk to him, I bet the writer of Pretty Woman.
For sure. It was
so not.
At the time, it's all I could get away with, you know,
the
studios. But I always slipped some victories in there for the feminists.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't get raped, right? I didn't let her get raped. She could have gotten raped by Stucky or whatever the fuck the
George
guy's
Costanza.
Name is.
George Costanza, yeah. But then Richard Gere comes in and saves her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because a prostitute wouldn't have any skills to fend off a aggressive schlub.
Yeah, especially one that's shorter than her.
That's her fucking wheelhouse. Exactly. You know, she would have been able to get out of that.
And Costanza's idea was, you took my car for a ride, I'll take yours.
Yeah.
You know, he played just an awful flesh of human, sack of human flesh in that movie.
So you liked that Julia Roberts movie. What's funny is there's a Julia Roberts movie you don't like.
Oh, wait, no.
No, we didn't like the other one.
You didn't like Pretty Woman. So do you not like her
at all? I
remember
when it came out, I was 10 years old or 11 years old, 12 years old, whatever I was. So it was, you know, to me, it was like, there's a prostitute. It's a movie about a prostitute.
It's so edgy.
A guy saves a prostitute. It's the 80s. Yeah, so you're kind of like, oh, yeah, he saves a prostitute. This is edgy.
Yeah, right? Sure.
But rewatching it made me realize, like, this is a classic film, not in the sense that it's awesome and great, and but it's old. Like, it has those
old tropes.
Blurry. Yeah. It has the blurry lens. It's almost like I felt like I was watching a Audrey Hepburn movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That movie was okay, I guess. I mean, I liked Aaron Brockovich, that movie with Julia Roberts, but Ocean's 12, I believe it was, I almost threw up watching that movie. No, sir, I do not like it.
Explain.
The plot device, I guess, is what you it would be called. I'm not sure, but you know, every heist movie has a thing where they're stuck, like the all is lost moment in any movie.
Right.
They're stuck. They're trapped, right? They're trapped inside.
How are we
going to
get out of this one?
And so, and that movie itself is kind of like a bunch of famous people get together who are friends and kind of masturbate on film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, essentially, it's like a fun romp. Yeah. Right. And so the sequels, especially. And so then they're stuck in the movie. And so their big solution to get out of being trapped is Julia Roberts' character in this world they've created will play pretend to be famous actress Julia Roberts. And I can imagine Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and Julia Roberts sitting around like a dinner.
Yeah.
Like, just think, we'll do, and I love George. I love all these three people individually. Like, sure, Matt Damon was probably there. Yeah. Maybe Elliot Gould was hanging out, trying to get a seat. And they're like, yeah, you know, maybe Elliot.
I don't know.
And so then you have like,
somebody cancels, you know what
no one's ever
done?
No one's ever played themselves in a movie.
Wow.
And they're like, oh,
dude, that's going to be so great. And you know what's
so
going to,
awesome.
And you're going to just look like her, and we're going to dress you up to
And then we'll bring in Bruce. Call Bruce. Text Bruce right now and see if he'll do it.
Dude.
And yeah. Bruce Willis is like, hell dude, yeah, I'm in.
Are you
I love
kidding
this
me? This
stuff.
Is great. This sounds great. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
I love believability. I was standing on a wing of a fighter jet spinning out of control in the air in the last Die Hard. I can do this.
Did I go off on that on the last podcast?
No.
Oh, that was a different podcast. I was just talking about how much Die Hard bothers me because the amount of violence and trauma his body suffers.
Yeah.
And he
just
rolls
tried to keep
through
up.
It.
I think they tried to keep up with the Fast and Furious franchise because Fast and Furious, they really went pro wrestling, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah,
where
yeah.
the laws of gravity and all that other kind of shit, that doesn't apply.
Right.
Right.
But, well, that's why, like Ocean's 11 was just basically, like, it's the same kind of idea as like the Expendables. Like, you're not. You're watching it to see, oh, dude, look at these famous people
look
know
at all
each
the famous
other.
People together, yeah.
Yeah.
But when they did
I
the
bet
Julia
they
Roberts
fun at
trick,
brunch.
It was too much.
Yeah.
But it went too much. It went too far. It's like, I'm just like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen now. Yeah, it became the worst movie I've ever seen.
When you have the idea of a character played by Julia Roberts having the idea of playing Julia Roberts, it sounds like a stoned 10th grader. Who wrote like for Highlights magazine.
Dude, what if we have Julia Roberts, but she's got to play herself, dude.
Yeah.
She's got to be pretend to
it
be
like,
her.
Speaking of Highlights magazine, you might as well just have a camera
this?
Zoom out and the guy looking for Waldo is Waldo.
Oh, dude, that's fucking
yeah, it's
crazy.
Like it sounds like a kid with potential. Like wrote that, you know, like we're not making
you're
this
being creative, and we like that you're being creative and trying to find a new way. But this is the absolute worst.
We're
okay, so that's your first idea.
It
Let's see what
so
else you got.
Bad though. I mean, yeah. I'm not over it yet. I still. I mean the self masturbatory idea. I mean, I would like to believe that Julia Roberts had to be really sold on this idea. It had to be like pitched to her hard, like to be convinced. Because if I'm not mistaken, and I probably am, in the movie, she has to be convinced to do it. Like someone's like, I've got an idea we could do. And she's like, you're not going to say it. And he's like, we do the thing. And she's like, no. And then they convince her to do it, I believe, in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. But the fact that they let that stick in, they couldn't just write some other like clever way out. I mean, it's
even make
so
the name
bad.
Not Julia Roberts. Like, you look like famous actress,
exactly.
actress Dorisberg or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah.
Dorisberg. Clive Clivenhill.
Yeah.
I'm too tired
your
to think
name,
of two different
your name
names.
Again with a different suffix.
Name Jew tag.
Brian McBrien. At least change her name. But yeah, we can move on. There is like, I mean, I guess I've got a list here.
Substantial.
And people who complain constantly drive me nuts. I mean, this is a great forum for being able to air grievances.
So the idea of
like
this podcast, you can't stand.
But we all know that person where, hey, how you doing? That's how they start everything.
Yeah.
Every time you see them, every time you say hello to them, it's like
they are personified.
What truckload of garbage are you about to dump on me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally.
Yep.
And these are the people who most likely use, I call it emotional graffiti on their Facebook wall.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
Always,
oh, gross.
Like these people, like no matter what good shit is happening for them, they want to let you know why it bothers or what could have been better. You know, the people, nothing's ever good enough for them.
Just never enjoying anything, never being satiated in any way,
in
shape,
any way.
Or form.
Just always a victim.
Always a victim. Victimhood. There's like those people. Because the problem with those people, I believe, is, you know, and I truly hope that they can find joy and happiness, but they don't want to, seemingly, at this point.
Well, it's also, that's the other thing, too, that I find annoying is a lot of times the way people respond to that is like it makes them almost like addicted to the response of it, in that like, so if everything's always wrong all the time, you have all these people like trying to encourage you, trying to make you feel better. Oh no, you're wonderful, you're great, and all that stuff. And I feel like I mean, and through Facebook is the, it's the worst. You get all of this like egregious support that is unnecessary just because you stubbed your toe that day. Like,
it's a real pity parade if you just visually follow it with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then the support, the emotional support comes in, because if you were to say to me, hey Ryan, how are you? And I say, you know what, things are going great, having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh cool, good to hear it. So what are we gonna blah 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 blah. But you're like, hey Ryan, what's up? You're not gonna fucking believe what happened to me. Oh, tell me what happened.
Right.
It's like you have no, like they don't, they're not able to find the value in other kind of conversation or engagement where emotionally they're where they
kidnappers.
Get support.
Well, not only that, it's not they even drain. Just kidnapping, but then it also, it's very much like in the person that cried wolf. If every time it's a bummer, but if you're like in a great mood all the time, and then all of a sudden you're just like, ah, dude, what the fuck? Then you're like, holy shit, what's going on? You know, it makes you genuinely want to care, as opposed to just being like, oh yeah, dude, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're just kind of like yesing them to get them through whatever it is that they're dumping on you, as opposed to you actually being a concerned person.
That's a funny like idea for a yes and game. Like,
yeah.
So all my day shit. Yes. And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I'm the only one out
you
here.
Should
yes,
kill yourself. You I totally kill yourself. Get why. Yeah.
Yes. And everyone will cry at your funeral.
I've found so many people with this attitude have really found comfort in politics on both sides right now, where especially that's a classic like middle class suburban kind of punk trope that I've seen so much, where kids like who have nothing to complain about are like, yeah, but what about the genocide in Darfur? Like, how can we sit here and enjoy this food when there's a genocide in Darfur? And it's like, you really are trying to be miserable. You're trying so hard.
Yeah, you're reaching.
Yeah, yeah.
You're reaching beyond your emotional capacity.
Right.
Because if you really were that concerned about the genocide and Darfur, or why did I just say Darfur?
Darfur. To defer it. Defer the defer Darfur.
You like, you probably wouldn't have made it out of the house to hang out particular and have that conversation with someone like, how can I eat this food when, you know, like, you know, the water in Flint, Michigan is still fucked.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, do something, like contribute. In a way,
if it's that crippling.
I used to be like miserable like that with politics and stuff like that when I was real young, like during W.
Oh
and
yeah,
I was, and I would just take on as many of the world's problems as possible, and then you know, like a bunch of people I care about died, and life happened, and then you're like, oh wait, no.
Oh, it's part of growing up. You realize that you're insignificant, and I might as well enjoy what little time I have here, and enjoy the. If there's so much shit, you should enjoy the tiny good things that happen.
Yeah, I think the older you get, hopefully you realize the ability or the possibility anyway that to. Seemingly opposite emotions can simultaneously exist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can be really upset that Trump's president. I can be really happy that a woman I'm seeing has sex with me.
Yeah, for sure.
Know, simultaneously.
Yeah. You know, I had a moment like that today. I saw a car accident, and I'm not sure if the guy died or not, when I was walking to the train station, and they were lifting him up on like a stretcher. It was real bad looking. And I was looking at that, and then I was thinking about how if somebody else was next to me right now, they'd probably say, this really puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? Like, makes you appreciate or makes you think your problems aren't as bad as they are. And I started arguing with this imaginary person in my head, where I was like, no, I'm still stressed about everything I'm stressed about. I feel terrible for that guy. I'm glad I'm not in that position. I hope he's okay. But also, I do have a lot of debt that bothers me. And I'm still stressed about it.
Suffocating me as we speak. Stomach.
And then I just had this argument with this imaginary person. And then lifting this guy into an ambulance. Oh, I was like, I'm alone too much. I'm alone way too much.
Yeah, when you're creating arguments with people that are
when you're keeping yourself company, you gotta get some friends.
There are those moments, though, that we have, like, just like where everything is so clear.
Yeah, I know.
Then how quickly we release those moments back into the wild.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
As if to say, you know, clarity's great, but you know what's better?
no fucking perspective at all.
I agree so much. We were talking about this on the last podcast because I've been doing the fucking keto thing, like no sugar, no carbs, and everybody talks about how present it makes you feel and how aware. And then I forgot that I'm an insane person in my brain, and it's a hell up there.
So being present and aware, is that just a synonym for like major withdrawal?
Yeah, I think so. Oh,
like, no wonder I've been
acutely aware
beer.
Of how unhappy yeah. I am.
I'm present and aware constantly of the fucking sugar I want. Yeah. Like, fucking all day long.
Or just the fact that it's a fucking fire in my brain and I've been pouring beer on it to keep it out. Yeah. Now my whole fucking head's
on
fire.
You gotta keep that wood wet, man. Yeah. You gotta keep that wood wet.
The clarity sucks. Crisis and psychedelics bring clarity, and
that's it's the same
I don't
thing
do
like,
either of those anymore. Yeah.
you don't do crisis
I don't do crisis anymore.
I feel the same way about like TVs, how they have the shit in 4K. Like, I don't want to see the razor bumps on people in pornography. I like it to be a little bit dreamy.
Are you
like
watching
a little
4K porn?
No, but I'm saying I wouldn't watch it. I've
that
seen
is encouraging some. Though to me. I will let me disagree just okay. on okay. the sure. surface level, okay. like uh-huh. literally on the surface level here. Because maybe seeing those razor bumps will help like young men realize that all women of their sexual fantasies aren't these just porcelain, flawless creatures that exist. And so when they meet a real woman, they're like, why aren't you perfect and flawless and smooth and, you know, like yeah. the woman I've been jerking yeah. off to for 6 years.
Well, they have right. Cheetos all over their hands. Right. And the guy's yeah. so nasty.
You're supposed to be perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to be perfect. Why is there a dimple on your thigh?
It's got four rows of shark teeth.
Mommy told me I was special. Like, I can't come unless you're perfect.
I don't, I probably got too vulgar just now.
No,
not even close.
So maybe yeah, I would. I like that. Yeah. I like that you can see the flaws because mm-hmm. everyone is flawed.
I guess I just mean to like it's a little dreamscapey. Remind you that it's fantasy and it's not.
Oh yeah, okay.
Real. You know what I mean?
Maybe porn isn't the best example. Maybe like I don't want to see George Costanza's razor bumps because
there
I
you go.
Get,
that's
I want to get
example.
Lost
for sure.
Or Aladdin's.
No,
yeah. Aladdin. Imagine they're like,
dude, Aladdin's
this cartoon's in 4D, HD. Like it's a real problem. Has anyone done that web series yet?
What?
Short clips of HD cartoons where you see the flaws in cartoons?
No, is that's that a you. Real thing?
Yeah, okay, that's all you.
We time stamped it.
Yep. There you go. You see Aladdin's pube bumps. You see?
Aladdin doesn't shave. I don't know why you guys are acting like he shaves.
You see Ariel's pruning.
By the way, Aladdin is homeless in the beginning of that movie and he's Arab and he has not a hair on his chest.
Yeah, that's.
And I'm. He's definitely waxing. But he's a homeless Arab who's waxing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because
yeah. he's definitely not prepubescent.
No.
No. Have you ever met a hairless Arab?
No. Absolutely not.
I will go on record and saying I don't feel 100% comfortable answering that question. But no, I have not.
That how funny would not. Be if Larry King or somebody asked that question. Let me ask you something, Ryan.
Hairless
Arab. You ever seen a hairless Arab?
Real Go. Or not real? Hairless Arabs. Myth or true? I do. Well, that kind of what we were talking about, what you're talking about, like these people, they slide into people who love to complain and never have joy and find no joy in joy.
Yeah.
They only find joy in sorrow and anguish and anger. Yeah. It's like that ties into like another thing on my list, which is people who lack political perspective.
Oh, for sure.
Because to me, these are the people that everything is so black and white when it comes to politics. And they forget that the Republican Party was the party of Lincoln from back in the day. Like all these things change their identities in so many ways. And so what is now a Republican right now wasn't a Republican 250 years ago necessarily.
No.
Or even... the idea too about the money that influences all politics to act like any of this is about like to loyalty act like any of these senators really give a shit about who can get married or use what bathroom, although some of them probably maybe do a couple of them, but it's all about where does their money come from? Where do they get their funding? And with politics, and there's no, it's all about compromise to some degree for people who have different opinions come together to try to figure out a solution. Right. That's like compromise. And to think that there's not going to be compromises on both sides, and then hopefully we're moving forward to a point where we all agree on the same thing.
I mean, you can even see it in the process. Like, oh, yeah, you want to get this crime bill passed? Well, we're going to throw in this and this and this, and you may not agree. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We may not agree with all of that shit, but if you want to get the main thing that you want passed, then you got to kind of pretend that, you know, you don't know about that stuff, or let it be like swept under the rug or whatever the fuck. Like, it's all compromise.
And people get too... they just get so invested in whether you want to go like Eastern philosophy with it and be like, it's our ego, it's our attachment to what our identity is. I've chosen that my identity is going to be this liberal. So therefore, if anybody attacks a liberal, I'm being attacked. When you've chosen to attach your identity to that kind of thing. But like when, because if you look at that last election, it's the crazy convergence of so many things that 20 years ago, if you would have told me this was going to happen and you remove the personalities, I would have been like, that sounds like a kick-ass election. You have a female candidate and you have a private businessman candidate. Those are your two candidates. I would have been like, oh, right after a black guy for two terms? Hell yeah,
yeah,
America.
We're heading a good direction.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then
yeah.
you throw it to, you know, throw it forward to the year 2016 and you have the biggest shit show any of us have ever seen, which is just the obvious continuation of what it had already begun.
Been, yeah.
Because you... when Obama won the first election, I told my brother, I was like, you can't win being president anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't win. Mm-mm. You don't win anymore. And no one will ever be a good president again, according to the world, because there will be just so much discord about it surrounding them.
I feel like there's also something to, like, I think it was a theory in like sociology of something like the idea of you rooting for the underdog, and then when the underdog wins, you still never want whoever is on top to be on top. Like, it's never so you want somebody to win until they win, and then you're like, okay, well, fuck that guy, because then you want a new underdog. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's always, it's easy to root for somebody who isn't winning until they win, and then it's like, well, we want a new champion or whatever. You know what I mean? It's never like somebody that can maintain that, because ultimately, I don't remember what the theory was, but it was like, ultimately, you don't want anybody to ultimately win, because they're an absolute power. Because
it's like the perpetual underdog syndrome, like where you need the underdog to be, you need to be rooting for the underdog because you believe in like overcoming the power.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so when the underdog actually wins, you've lost them.
Now you
have to immediately switch to your new underdog now.
Yeah, because you lost them to the power, which is what you were encouraging them
to
do.
Weird transference of allegiance, like constantly. That, so no underdog can ever truly be victorious and maintain its status.
Right. Because then ultimately the people who supported you are going to turn against you anyways.
Exactly.
It's like the New England Patriots. It's like Tom Brady took over when Drew Bledsoe destroyed his ACL, and then he was the 6th-round draft pick rookie who nobody had ever heard of, won a Super Bowl championship. Everybody loved him. Then he won another one, and everybody's like, fuck this guy. They're evil. Which also, I believe, you have some opinions on football. Don't you?
I do have opinions. I do.
Holy shit, Brian just pulled a me. Did you just pull a me? I always do this. I try to make these like seamless transitions into like from one subject to another. And Brian always puts the fucking brakes on it every time. Every time I successfully do it, he's just always like, oh, Carmen's trying to get you. And so now he just tried to do it. So now I have to put the brakes on. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's all cyclical.
I'm turning into Charlie Rose.
There's a bit of a role reversal.
Yeah.
Football, this is...
why do you
God
hate football?
God isn't real. Death is final. Football sucks. That is life. Okay.
Is that your crest? Is that your Ryan Singer crest?
God isn't real. Death is final. Football sucks. Everyone just needs to accept it.
Why?
College football is a mess, I think. I think college football is a mess.
Because all the bowls, all the funding?
I just think because of like... well, first of all... I never played this. A lot has to do with this. I never played football. Sure. I wasn't allowed to play football because my mom. And
why didn't she let you play
football? Football has just been spitting out these guys, like chewing them up and spitting them out for our entertainment for so long. And now, like, they're pretending like they give a shit about concussions, right?
Right.
Which is like this thing that's happened in the last few years,
yeah,
where they care.
They care about
concussions. But it's just boring as hell to watch. I mean, and people are going to, I'm a hypocrite in everything I say or do. I'll admit that. Because I love baseball. right? Oh, and many God. People would be like, what's worse than baseball? Maybe watching golf. And I can enjoy a round of golf
on
TV.
Do you also ride a bike with a giant front tire that's made out of wood?
Have you heard that these things, they're riding with feathers now. Can you believe that? No, but football to me, it's just, it's so just boring.
Oh, boy.
There's nothing like, there's
why?
So
it's
many
chess
commercials.
With human beings. It's war. It's
so
gladiators. It's also like.
There's so many fucking rules that are broken every time. Every time a play happens, somebody's held. Somebody's pass interference
sure.
with. You could call it every single time, but they only call it every once in a while when it's like bad enough,
it's
which
egregious.
Is so subjective. And it's just like, oh, and all the owners of these NFL teams are these like billionaire scumbags.
Unlike those philanthropist
baseball
owners. Yeah, exactly. Baseball owners.
Can we please talk about all the good old white men that own baseball teams? So, okay, that's not a strong leg on my argument. The table's a little wobbly. But, you know, I just read something the other day about Bob McNair, how they said Bob McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, would field an all-white football team if he could.
Sure.
Is the sense around the
but
league.
But the important thing is he isn't.
Exactly. He's not like, so you're prevent. So the NFL, so what you're saying is
I
the NFL
is
great
because.
I have a lot
of offensive urges that I don't act on. Okay. I don't think that makes somebody bad.
Well, no, it doesn't make somebody bad because we're all, to me, we're all the same.
Right.
Like people are like, you know, they're trying to do this and they're trying to, it's always they. It's like, who is they? To me, we all have a tiny part of they in us and every single one of us because we're all complicit in this.
Sure.
And everything we do.
I think that's what enrages people is they whatever they see the part of the they in themselves that they don't like.
Because it's like, what is the what's the thing? You hate somebody who like mirrors your something you do that you don't want
right.
to admit that you do.
Yeah.
Like when you really hate someone's behavior, like look at that piece of shit. It's like, I do. And then you really realize you do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
there are some things that you just hate because it's fucking evil.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like hating a racist doesn't mean that I hate the racist in me or the secret racist. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that's just fucking
evil. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Because I hate people who burn people alive.
Right.
I've never
wanted to burn
I've
someone
never
alive.
Really had the urge like, I want to burn this person. I wanted to burn things to the ground, like City Hall.
Sure, sure.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You know? to me, the gun argument, like, is simple. Like, I know we're kind of I'm making a jump here. But, like, when it comes to, like, hatred and anger,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, we're all accessible. Like, whenever I see a school shooting, I want to gather up 50 of my closest friends and show Congress just how easy it is to buy an AR-15 and walk into Washington with it and show them how easy it is to walk into a public place with an assault rifle. And then, boom, Congress problem solved.
Right.
But that doesn't do anything, right?
Mm-mm. That just means you're just being the oppressed, becoming the oppressor.
Now the NRA is using me as their poster boy.
Right.
He started the revolution. Because with our gun, freedom
rings.
That's
a great backfire, though.
Right, exactly. So I don't think the anger solves anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so I will admit this. When it comes to transactions, like coaching changes, free agency, the draft. I'm interested in that stuff. In all sports. Sports I don't even follow, like football.
So in dodgeball, you were all about like just whose team you were going to be on and then you didn't care about
the game
itself.
Yeah, I love that. I love stats. That's why baseball is probably my number one thing because the stats are endless.
Sabermetrics.
That's why I never understood why nerds and jocks never got along. It's because it was still all the same shit. It's still all math.
Well, a lot of the jocks don't know stats like fans know stats. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you know your sabermetric score is what? Yeah. Like me jump high.
Yeah. Exactly.
Me hit ball far.
Yeah.
Did you know the exit velocity on your last home run was 117 miles an hour? Me smash ball.
You know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't actually Pirates.
No,
right?
They're not. Yeah.
Yarr.
Yarr, me football player.
But I hate, that's why I hate football. Like, it always, there's like no, to me, there's never a good flow to it.
See, what I like about football is I think it's the most athletic sport there is. Also, the body thing.
It's also voluntary, though.
It is voluntary, but it, I mean, there is the, half those people would have never gotten out of their hood if they weren't, didn't sacrifice their body for football. But they also had fucking natural talent and hard work. But what I was going to say about football is it's the most athletic sport, and also the concussion thing and the just the way your body gets destroyed. I right now would love to make that exchange, to be a football player and to walk out into a stadium of 80,000 people cheering and play that game at that elite level. I would definitely.
Have you seen Marcus Allen lately?
No, we don't really talk much.
Or like on TV. No. I'm sorry, I didn't know you guys had a falling out. Yeah. Marcus Allen, I think, is a great example.
Yeah.
Of his life has been destroyed.
Yeah.
The people close to him, his children, his wife, mm-hmm. he, because of the concussions and the damage that he sustained during yeah. his, during 80,000 people at, you know, LA Coliseum through yep. college, and because he went to USC, right?
Yes.
And, you know, playing for the Raiders. Raiders, I mean, like, yeah. he had 100,000 people cheering him all the time. And, like, he can't. Every day is like a new, am I going to be the worst person alive again today?
Right.
Like, where I can't handle just being around anybody. Like, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think the trade's worth it. I mean, that's my personal opinion. You may think it is. But when, then you hear someone like Marcus Allen talk, or what was it, Junior Seau, who killed
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, shot himself in the chest. Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that it clearly wasn't worth it.
There is a lot of, I just read this article written by this guy. Have you ever heard of the Players Tribune?
Oh, yeah.
I love the Players Tribune. It's a news site that athletes write the articles from all different sports.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's real. There's some really cool stuff in
there. Kevin Love just wrote one on his panic attacks.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets into mental health, and it's just, you know, it's really cool that athletes are talking about mental illness. Cause
that is really great stuff.
Yeah. Mental illness is the next thing. I'm just going to sidetrack right away. I think it's going to be the next thing that gets a good public discourse, because that's something we've been ignoring a lot. And I'm not talking about Republican gun debate pivots of talking about mental illness. But I think now that, like, I think a lot of the more macho facets of the world are starting to embrace.
Acknowledge the yeah. fact that you can say something's like something feels wrong with your brain, or that it's okay to be sad, or to address the fact that you have sadness.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of cool people doing. I mean, what Maria Bamford does in her stand-up, like, I mean, there's just a lot of people who have like really interesting perspectives and are very open. I think that's going to be one of the next big great things. We're addressing, like, you know, gender inequality right now. We're addressing race inequality. I think mental illness is going to be the next big movement of, I don't know, I might be wrong, but it seems like it is. I see it bubbling.
Yeah, there's been the undercurrent's been there for a while now.
Yeah.
People, you know, some people talking about it for years now, but I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Maria Bamford's whole Netflix show.
Yeah.
Basically empowering women and mental, like, being open about mental illness. So
she's done an hour great. On suicide alone, too. She was just, is like, yeah, and it's crazy.
And I love Carlin's. One of my favorite George Carlin specials was a life.
With the
worth
one
losing.
About suicide.
Yeah.
What's that one called?
It's called Life Worth Losing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With mm-hmm. the big 12-minute suicide bit in the beginning.
Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah. Somebody just did it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. I remember when I was younger, one of the first jokes, when I was very dark when I was younger in mm-hmm. comedy. And, you know, and we've all had those like moments. And so I remember the first time I wrote a joke where I was like, this joke, I like this joke so much that some people aren't going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because it was based on a true story. I was like, I tried to write a suicide note the other day, and I had to stop because it kept rhyming. And I, like, even in my death, I couldn't get away from being fucking punny and shit. And I was like, this can't be what I leave behind.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I was like, I mean, obviously not the reason I didn't kill myself, but I was
in
like,
the bit,
this
the
can't
reason
be,
why you couldn't
can't
kill
be
yourself.
The last thing anyone ever sees from me, like, he was fucking rhymed in a suicide note. What a fucking idiot. He wasn't an artist. He was a clown. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I can't be remembered like that.
Your suicide note kept you alive.
Yes. Ironically, yes. It sure did. Yeah. And besides, I'm not, like, if any Republicans or conservatives or gun lovers are listening, you don't ever have to worry about your guns being taken away from you. Because they're never going to take your guns away because they know you'll never use them. The fact that there wasn't a huge uprising in 2008 after the economy collapsed proves to me that these people who say they need their guns for freedom, to protect freedom, are never going to use them. Because if you didn't use them then, you're never going to use them. If you didn't use them when they stole your retirement fund.
Yeah.
When your IRA disappeared in a flash. Yeah. When they took your house from you, quote unquote, legally.
Right.
And these billionaires got bonuses from your tax money and the money they stole from you. You didn't use your AR-15 then, motherfucker. You're never going to use it.
Yep.
Pussies.
So shut the fuck
you
up.
Fucking pussies.
Stop buying all your goddamn deer urine so you can jerk off on the fucking Saturday at 5:30 and hang out in a tree with your buddy. That's why you need your fucking gun, to hunt deer, these defenseless animals. Go hunt these other defenseless animals, these fucking Republicans and Democrats in Washington. No, I'm not.
So you don't
like
hunting.
I know where they play softball really too, if you want it.
I'm really getting sucked into the darkness now. I don't think
so. You don't like hunting? I'm getting the vibe like you don't like hunting.
It's not that I don't like hunting. I mean, I get it. I shot an AK-47 once. It was the first time I ever shot a gun.
It's a good gun.
And it made my dick bounce. I get it. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
I understand the feeling of empowerment you get from like shooting a weapon like that. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
Man, that should have been the Army's gun in Vietnam. It's the nationalism stopped. I mean, we had the M16A1 that jammed like crazy. The AK-47 never jams, but because of ego and because of communism or whatever, we never adopted that gun, and now a lot of people died from their guns jamming.
Which brings me to the next thing on my list.
Jamming barrels death. Of gun mass.
The problem with death. What do we got? Did people complain constantly? Oh, I didn't talk about chocolate yet.
You don't like chocolate?
Conspiracies and lies. Ooh. I mean, the chocolate conspiracy, that chocolate is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the flavor palate.
Get
out of here.
What's even worse is it has this, because I've dealt with this a lot, because chocolate's fine, but I've never been, it's been, thanks to the Kathy fucking comic, it's always been associated with women, I love chocolate better than sex.
I'm on my period, I just have to
Oh my
chocolate.
God, I will kill somebody for some fucking chocolate. Like, it's just, I've never had that experience, and I've never had the... I'm like, it was just like, who are you fucking that a candy bar is like, maybe tell somebody to make you come. Maybe be more, maybe demand that you feel good in this and not resort to fucking cocoa.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm fine with chocolate, but I don't like all the hype around it.
I don't either. We're on the same page on this. Like, it's like big chocolate has sold us this lie. That it's like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I never liked chocolate by itself.
Mm-hmm.
If peanut butter's involved, I'll fuck with it.
Yeah.
For sure. You know what I mean? Chocolate. But it is, like I said before, I'm very hypocritical in everything I say or do. I hate chocolate ice cream. Oh, it ruins anything.
Yeah,
like chocolate ice cream is like touching vanilla. I can't even eat the vanilla.
So you can't even fuck with the Neapolitan.
No, I don't fuck with Neapolitan. That just ruins it. Chocolate cake. Oh, get out of here. Chocolate icing. Oh, gag me with a spoon, they say, or whatever.
Yeah.
They do say that in the 80s.
But hot chocolate. Yeah. My heyday. Hot chocolate, though? Hot chocolate the drink?
Oh,
hell yeah. Fantastic. Hit me up with that. I will drink the shit out of some
chocolate.
Throw
a couple marshmallows in the tub if you want. Right? I don't even care if you do or not.
That. Yeah. I am down with that. You know, peanut butter cups, love them. Mm. But chocolate by itself, like, is this greatest thing ever. It's just,
it's socialization, man.
It.
Like, especially with the period shit that you broads are always yapping about.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it could have been whatever you socialize a woman to need with each other. Like, could have been like fucking, I don't know, potted chicken livers.
Be
like, oh man, I'm menstruating. I need potted chicken livers, and if everybody says that, we'll agree on that. foie gras or something.
Yeah, foie gras.
I need some foie gras.
I just need some duck liver, or I'm gonna fucking rip somebody's face off. Like, just what?
No, you need Motrin.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
And a heating pad. Yeah. I'm just in pain.
But I can't go anywhere. I had a surprise, a semi-surprise. It wasn't even really a surprise. A couple friends of mine on my birthday years ago surprised me with a cake. So it wasn't like a party or anything. It was a chocolate cake.
Oh.
That's what a way to make you feel like a dick.
These are supposed to be friends of mine. Yeah. We're
stabbed
friends.
In the back?
We're friends, and you don't know I fucking hate this?
Yeah.
And I had to sit there just to not be an asshole, because I had done it before. And my girlfriend at the time knew I had done it before, so she kind of grabbed my arm and gave me an extra squeeze, meaning don't say thank you, but I don't like chocolate.
Just
because I had done that before. She's like, you know, they're just trying to make a nice gesture and blah, 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 you know. And I was like, yeah, but they're my friend, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Now, to celebrate me, I have to do something I really
fake
don't like.
Fake enjoy something that
well,
you don't like.
You have to find out your friends don't actually care about you at all or know anything about you. And you have to eat chocolate on top of it.
Now, is all life a lie?
Should have made it a shit cake.
Big chocolate lie. My friends aren't real. Like, what the?
This
what
is the worst
point?
Birthday
was,
ever.
Yeah, this, let's go get one of those guns. I was on stage at the Comedy Bar in Chicago, which is a fun club.
I love
club.
That room.
And I'd been doing this bit. I have like a 12-minute bit on milkshakes because I love milkshakes.
Oh,
so much.
Dude, me too. We've gotten a milkshake. That's right.
Yeah, and they surprised me on stage during my act with a milkshake.
Chocolate milkshake?
With not just a chocolate milkshake.
Oh, no.
Like the best milkshake in town in Chicago, apparently, right? With chocolate ice cream that has a piece of decadent chocolate cake blended into it, right?
Oh,
so now I'm on stage with the audience demanding, because I just did a 12-minute bit on fucking milkshakes.
Yeah.
And now the audience wants me to drink this whole fucking milkshake, right? And it's so I don't know if you've ever tried to drink a milkshake on stage, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, no. You got the vein in your forehead popping out.
It doesn't exactly
if they
contribute to the
it.
Flow of a show.
You can't even get a flow in the fucking straw. How are you going to have a flow on stage?
And I had to slurp down like a third to a half of this, which almost was making me gag because the flavor to me is just, I just don't like it. Maybe my mom had too much chocolate when she was pregnant with me. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just don't like the flavor.
I don't think it works
and I was
that
just
way
because like,
if your mom had too much crack, you would have loved crack. She was pregnant. I think she didn't have enough chocolate.
That's a, that, you know, it's a very, I will count that as a scientific argument. let's say you're probably right. But yeah, so that's my problem with chocolate, because chocolate fucks with everything. It's sticking its nose.
I love
everything.
All these jerks who are making you cakes and giving you
right,
shakes.
Yeah. All these like benevolent
jerks. What a bunch
jerks.
Of cunts.
I know. It's extra evil though.
I mean, and it makes me sound like an asshole. I'm
no,
sure.
No, I get
to
it.
A certain degree. But
if it was anything else, like if you didn't like sushi and people just kept shoving fucking raw fish in your face all the time.
One of my best friends, she's been a vegetarian since she was 12 and her family still tries to get her to eat meat and she just turned 30. It's like, boy, get to know your daughter. Stop being an asshole.
She'll grow out of it.
I was vegetarian for 5 years and my mom, every meal would be like, so do you want turkey? Or so it was the same thing on a smaller scale.
Right.
The minute I go back to eating meat, now she only, I'll like go to Ohio to visit and she'd be like, I got some vegetarian pizzas in the freezer. I'm like, it's been 5 fucking years since I've been a vegetarian.
So she's got a 5-year learning.
She's got a, holy shit.
Yeah, it takes her 5 years to learn.
So I need
something.
To start telling her now that I'm broke.
Yeah.
So 5 years from now, I can start getting some money.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice though if we had like
somebody
just
giving
one
us
of
money?
These like
yeah, for sure.
Hedge
people
fund
just gave us money.
Families.
Oh my God. It'd be fantastic.
Anyway, that brings me to the next thing on my list.
Hoping your parents die so they leave you money.
Trust fund babies. Yeah. No, trust fund comedians. Let's talk about them.
They are ruining comedy.
They
I've talked about that
comedy.
Before. Rich kid comics.
Rich
they
kid
ruin.
Comics. You know what? It's not on my list, but rich kid new age woo. I'm into new age woo. It's a negative term,
what's
but I embrace it.
Woo?
Paranormal stuff, crystals, tarot cards,
like
hippie
woo-woo,
shit.
You know?
Woo woo?
Like clairvoyance, psychics, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, aliens, UFOs. Like, you've got all these yoga falls into that, Reiki, which is energy healing, acupuncture.
So you're like coast to coast new age.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but now you've got all these like rich, like, and it's not just women, but a lot of them are like these like Instagram models who are like to the hippies, to the new age crowd. And it's like they're all going to Burning Man and in their fucking like sweet ass Mercedes, and they're all talking about crystals and energy and vibes. It's like you've never had a job. Of course you think the fucking universe is benevolent and all knowing because you've never had to do anything. And it's dudes too.
For sure.
And it's like, why do you have 8 abs?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? No crystal gives you abs. Trust me. I've bought them all. Yeah. But like, and it's like, that really bothers me. That spoiling of anything.
I lived in the Bay for 9 years in Oakland and San Francisco, and I was inundated in that shit. And there's a time of year, well, when Burning Man happens, the normal Bay people who are not normal people at all, but the normal people who aren't into Burning Man, that is the happiest time of the year. Is when Burning Man's happening.
Because all the obnoxious
they
people leave.
They all leave. And it's an exodus that affects traffic, makes traffic better. It makes parking better. Like, it's a noticeable dent in a fucking annoying flock of people leave that city. But I've dated girls who, like, I have nightmares real bad. And luckily, I have sleep apnea, so I don't do anything about it. So I fucking don't dream. But when I do get a good night's dream, good night's sleep, I have a horrible nightmare. And I dated this girl who said, you need to put this crystal above your head and then it'll absorb all the bad energy and then rinse it in the morning and then your night terrors will go away. And I was like,
You had night terrors or nightmares?
Night terrors.
Oh, wow. So you're like acting them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Thrashing around.
Yeah.
Thrasher magazine over here.
Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't believe that crystals have some kind of healing and
do you really believe
productive
that?
Qualities on some level, because I do believe that everything has a different vibration and, you know, being in, you know, finding.
So
right
you believe in energy.
Things.
It's not necessarily
I believe in the possibility
like,
of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Huh. But to have someone who, but to just say, it's like these people who get into conspiracy theories and things like this, like, oh, like they hear about anybody who has cancer. It's like, oh, you know what they need? They need raw tulips. They'll get rid of their cancer, or they're just not getting enough vitamin C.
Yeah.
That'll cure their cancer. It's like, whoa, let's settle down. First of all, we're dealing with a person. Yep. Who has been given
and also science.
A very serious diagnosis mm-hmm. about a deadly thing that's happening to them, and you're being very dismissive
yep.
of the experience that this person is going through by just acting like any solution, whether it's scientific or new age wooey, which was science before science was science.
Sure.
Science launched from all that shit. They built upon the shoulders of this thing. Now they've kicked those shoulders to the side, but
for some might say good reason.
Of course, some of it for good reason. Yes, some of it for good reason. But also at the time when we truly disconnect from our intuition as these animals that have this consciousness, which is a miracle of some kind, mm-hmm. We're doing ourselves a real disservice. And when we become just strictly mechanical,
science. I'll agree with that. Yeah.
So to have a girlfriend who's just
as if that matters,
just dismissive of you. Of what you go through having, because night terrors are awful. I was almost killed by a guy and experiencing a night terror once.
Really?
Yeah. He saw it looked like he saw the face of the devil, is mm-hmm. all I can say. And I was sleeping. Me and a couple buddies were on the road in Florida, and we stopped in Florida, in Georgia somewhere, to stay at this one guy's friend's house who mm-hmm. was like a manager at an Aaron's Furniture.
Wow.
The only reason that's an important detail is because his condo had really nice furniture in it. And so this guy had like one of those like 8 foot long glass tabletops, dining room Ooh. Tabletops, right? And I'm sleeping on one side with like my head pointed towards the end of the table, just underneath it. And he's on the other side of the table. Apparently he's having a night terror right before I fall asleep. Like I'm ready to fall asleep. And I just hear this loud fucking commotion. He got up from his sleeping bag and with his fists on his knees, punched up underneath the glass table.
No
and
way.
So the table came tilting down. So I had this like, you know, 250 pound glass, basically a cleaver.
Yeah.
Falling down right where it was going to just land, like right on my neck. It would have just decapitated me probably. And wow. So I hear this and I see this and I roll out of the way. The table lands on the floor, shatters into a million pieces.
He punched like a 250-pound table into the air.
He was.
Wow.
Yeah. He just like, he screamed bloody murder. And so I'm standing in this dining room and moonlight a little bit is kind of coming in. And maybe there's some appliance lights, but not much. I just see in the shadows of the moon, this guy, Charlie. He's got really short hair, kind of bald, but just a long beard.
Yeah.
On his knees, screaming, like trembling, like, and he's bleeding from his fists.
Like he did salvia.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
this dude just saw the fucking devil.
Yeah.
And then he just lays back down and goes to sleep. Five seconds later, what's his name? The guy's house we're staying at comes out and turns the light on. And I'm just standing in the living room atop a shattered $1,500 table or whatever the fuck it was.
Fuck.
Just like, just standing there like, what the fuck? And he turns the light on and I'm just standing there. And I'm like, I know what it looks like, but I tell you, I don't know what happened. And he's like, what the fuck happened? What'd you do to my table? And I'm like, Charlie saw the devil. He almost took my head off. I don't know what's going on. And Charlie kind of wakes up. He's like, what's going on over here? My other buddy, Tim, comes in the room. He's like, what's going on? He's like, why am I bleeding? And then the guy was so mad that we just had to vacuum and then hit the right. We had to leave. But so like night terrors are real.
Yeah.
Like those things, like he used to like lock himself into a room and sleep. Because like he's like you know punched people, elbowed people, kicked people very violently, and like you know because you have no control over your body at that point.
Yeah, I punched a fence. I was camping. And I sat up and punched a fence, and I was playing in a band, and I was on tour, and we were leaving from Oakland to Minneapolis. That our first tour date was Minneapolis, so we drove 48 hours there. But we,
I've done that shit.
Yeah, before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we stopped in Canton, Omaha. Or not in Omaha. It's somewhere outside in Nebraska on the way up there. And I don't know if it was a dream or if there was actually coyotes around me, but I had this idea that there was coyotes attacking me. And I remember perfectly, I sat up and I went to punch a coyote and I just punched a wooden fence and I destroyed my hand before we were starting a tour where I had to play guitar every night. And so I went on that rest of that tour with just like, I had my like last three fingers on my hand just had this fat black bruise on it.
Oh,
and every show just hurt so bad.
So did the crystal help you with your terrors? did you rinse it in the morning and did it make a difference?
As far as I know, I've chilled out a lot. I remember this girl I used to date said that I would sit up a lot and say like, do you want me to kill him? I'll kill him right now. And I would do stuff like that and like get up and walk around and pace and be like, fuck! And like stuff, but I wasn't awake. And then I would lay back down. So it never, but I never, I punched a person, but that was because they were like touching me. So, like trying to wake me up early and I punched him in the face. But I generally didn't really hurt other people, but I think it's subsided. I think now it's mostly more just nightmares. Just,
well, I mean, that's good news. I mean,
yeah.
So are you, but are you still, do you still do the crystal and wash it every morning and do all that stuff?
No, Carmen. And I never did.
So
I'll tell you, I do have a crystal underneath my pillow as we speak. Currently, I have a Super 7.
Oh, okay.
Which is a crystal that's supposed to enhance dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm one of these people who just, for years, when I was very young, I had awful nightmares.
Yeah.
I hate nightmares.
Me too.
This could be, we'll put this on the list.
Oh, yeah. You hate nightmares?
I hate nightmares and I hate the devil.
I would be interested.
I hate the devil too.
I had nightmares of the devil chasing me whole childhood to the point where I think they were so traumatic that I made myself stop dreaming, or at least remembering having any recall of dreams.
Do you think that had something to do with you having such a religious upbringing, though?
Well, certainly it did.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly it did. And also it didn't help that my grandma like always told me I was really special, and so I thought I was a prophet, and I thought the devil was coming for me because he knew that if he didn't get me, I would help defeat him, blah, 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 stuff like that. Wow. So very megalomaniac.
What denomination were you?
Catholic.
Oh, me too. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... But
two,
now
two Catholic boys with nightmares.
Yeah.
With devil nightmares specifically. Yeah. I'm seeing a pattern here, guys. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
So, but as I've gotten older and I've become hyper fascinated with astral projection,
uh-huh,
and trying to really understand that the dream world, you know, who knows? I mean, to me, it could be this alternate reality. It could be another dimension. So I want to have access to it again. So, and the Super 7 crystal apparently under your pillow is supposed
mugwort
to help you
do that.
Have more vivid and be able to recall your dreams more.
Has
and
it
I'll
helped?
Tell you, ever since I started keeping it under my pillow, I'll tell you, I do now remember dreams. And whether it's, you know, the placebo effect or not, who cares?
It's working.
Because the placebo effect is a thing that all scientists and doctors recognize as being real. And mm-hmm. that to me is amazing. But right. the skeptic always wants to say,
the fact that you can trick your brain into believing. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the placebo effect is evidence enough
right.
of the power of the mind over the body.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but anyway, yeah, so.
There's people who put, you know, their mugwort, they'll drink mugwort tea, and then they'll put a satchel of mugwort sewn into their pillow.
I've never done the mugwort.
And that's supposed to activate dreaming too, but
yeah, yeah. I've never, it doesn't sound like you
skeptical.
Need it. No. It doesn't sound like you need it.
No,
the one thing that a friend of mine who had really, she had just the worst nightmares to the point where they'd affect the rest of her day. She would just wake up and like feel like she was still in the dream mm-hmm. world, and like it was just, it would just ruined her life,
yeah.
essentially. She slowly but surely started becoming lucid mm-hmm. in her dreams and taking control, trying to take control of the dreamscape itself.
By keeping a dream diary?
I think that may have helped. And then slowly but surely, she was now, she would always just be able to control the dream because she was aware she was a dream, in a dream. Mm-hmm. And so then she would just change things. Well, I'm in a dream. I can do whatever I want now. So I can, you can get fucked, you know, essentially.
Right, yeah.
Or now she can travel through time and space and like go forward or backward in time and stuff. And I'm like, you just might be like a dream detective. Like you could go back in your dreams. What if you could solve past crimes? Like ancient mysteries. Like you could go back, because she's also experimenting with she'll find someone else's dream self and try to wake them up or try to make them lucid. I used to actually have her try to get me and my girlfriend at the time to meet up. Like I almost tried to, she was like a dream matchmaker because it was a long distance relationship. So I would have my friend Erica, who was an ex-girlfriend of mine, uh-huh. we'd like had remained best friends, try to get me and my girlfriend Megan at the time, our dream selves connected so we could hang out more. And I actually did dream about Megan more when she would do this.
Huh.
So wow, it's pretty that's interesting. Crazy.
Stuff. And she's got some other like superhero powers in her dreams that we don't need to get into. But
I understand why you don't like football.
Because dogs off leash. Because I really want to talk about dogs off leash. Fucking pisses me off so much.
You know what? I have so much to say about what you just said, but let's go to dogs off leash. Let's go to dogs off leash.
When I see a dog off a leash at a park on a trail, and I love dogs. I'm like the epitome of a dog lover. Like we can't have pets here and I travel too much, or I would have a dog,
right.
if not two dogs. I love dogs. All kinds. I want a Great Dane. I want a Doberman Pinscher. Mm. I want big dogs. I love big dogs. And when I see someone with a dog off leash at a park, I lose my mind. I mean, I seriously, I have to go through this process where I look at the dog and mentally I apologize. I'm sorry, this is not about you. And then I look at the owner and I wish them death.
Wait, so trails too, you feel the same way?
Oh yeah. If you
but
have,
don't you think-
I've been run into by a dog off leash. Like, and I love dogs, but like, I was just kind of like walking and then from behind me, and I've seen bobcats on the mountain before.
For sure.
So I'm like somewhat, and you know, rattlesnakes and things like that. You have to be aware of your surroundings.
Of course.
For safety.
It's nature.
Especially when you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. And because if you get bitten by a rattlesnake and you're by yourself, that could be problematic if your cell phone isn't working and things like that. Because you don't want to like hike down because that just gets the poison circulating through your blood because now you're exercising. Anyway, I was just walking and like a golden retriever ran into the back of my knees to where I almost buckled over.
Like when you're pranking.
It startled the hell out of me.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought I was being attacked by like a mountain lion or some shit, right? And it's just this dumb dog, like, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And I was like, and then the dog just kind of kept going. I was like, easy, buddy. And then I just kind of sat there like, what just happened?
Right.
And then like, you know, 15 seconds later, here comes some dude with a leash in his hand. I was like, your dog just ran into me. Oh, he's a great, he's a harmless dog. I go, it doesn't matter. I didn't have this conversation with him, like this part, but like,
sure.
Like it doesn't matter if your dog is harmless. You don't know what could trigger your dog into biting anybody. I mean, therapy dogs on planes have bit other passengers. You know what I mean? Like you don't know what could trigger entity that's separate from you into doing something unpredictable.
You also don't know what else, like if there was a fucking mountain lion, that dog would be dead.
The dog would be dead. And also, what if I was attacked by a dog when I was 7 years old and I've never recovered?
Yeah.
I'll be terrified of all dogs, you
right.
know, without it mattering. I don't know your dog.
Sure.
You know, especially when people have like the larger breeds off leash.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, even the small dogs bothers me. It does. It still bothers me even if it's a tiny little chihuahua. It's like, keep your dog on leash. There's a reason why your dog's supposed to be on leash at a park. because there's all these people you don't know hanging around. A Chihuahua can still bite the shit out of you. Or attack another dog.
And they're
dog.
Actually more likely, too, because they have Napoleon complexes.
Yeah.
And I also think that, though, with the bobcat thing, though, I'd rather my dog get ate by a bobcat not attached to me. You know what I mean? Like, if the dog is off the leash.
You're
going to
sacrifice your best friend. Yeah, for sure.
Go over there and get ate. Yeah, I don't want.
I'm gonna run away now.
Yeah,
I don't want to witness it. Yeah, I don't want to be a part of it.
I
don't
want
to try
meal.
To pull you away, and only a spinal cord comes out,
yeah. Or become seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that really bothers me when people are so like aloof and arrogant, and actually just disrespectful to have their dog off leash somewhere. And I don't care if there's only four other people in the whole giant park. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't be an asshole.
I think some dogs are off-leash worthy. I really do. I'm thinking particularly this one dog, Ashi, that I lived with, this German Shepherd. He was unbelievably loyal and a listener, and I never saw him snap in his entire... I lived
but
with
if
him.
You saw a German Shepherd off-leash, and you were even on the fence about dogs,
yeah,
you'd
it
be
is
terrified.
Scary.
You'd be terrified. Because those dogs are specifically... bred in
so
a
it's
way
not even about the dog it's about the environment yeah
so like if you didn't know that dog and let's say you were attacked by a dog when you're 14 years old and now we're at Brand Park in Glendale taking a hike and then all of a sudden around the corner the first thing you see is just a German Shepherd off leash kind of just trotting at you
the whitest moment you'll ever see me have is I'll go up to any dog and start petting. That is probably the whitest character.
Well, I mean, we were doing a thought exercise where you'd been attacked by a dog when you were.
Okay. Yeah.
So, those are large dogs.
Right.
And also attack dogs.
And I've seen a German Shepherd off leash. I've seen pit bulls off leash, like boxers off leash at parks. And it's like, what are you're being an asshole. Mm-hmm. Having your dog off, especially in crowded places, like even Griffith Park, mm-hmm. The arrogant bastards who don't think their dog needs to be on a leash at Griffith Park when there's 500 other people there walking around with their dogs. And that's not all, fair. And some of them have fucking control or anger. Or you know, most of the dogs are rescues, yeah. Have trauma, yep.
It's consideration for your environment. It's not that your dog is incapable of being a good dog off leash. It's the fact that there's the world around you. It's being aware of your surroundings too.
Yeah, and quite frankly, you're doing a disservice to your dog. Because if your dog now is off leash and becomes involved in an incident, that dog will, if a person is involved in that incident wants your dog put down, it's put down.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. That's just the way the law happens. That's the way it works when dogs are involved in attacks and incidents like that. So like if your dog attacks, or even if your dog is attacked by another dog, but they kind of attack each other, you could be like, well, my dog was attacked. Well, your dog was off leash. It also hurt that other dog. Both of these dogs are down.
Right.
So you're doing a disservice to your dog by putting it in danger of losing its life because you don't want to hold a leash, you lazy piece of shit. If I throw a piece of shit on the end, it becomes more.
Yeah. Right? More of a rant. All right. You know what? My imaginary dog is now on a leash. No, on a leash. He was off a leash in my fantasy. He was just right by my side.
I love off leash. I would love to have an off leash dog. Just these companions, like me,
they're
like
because they're with you because they want
to
be.
To ancient lore. Yeah. Where I just have wolf. I'm a leader of a wolf pack. Yeah. Let's go explore the river.
You kind of look like you would own a pack of wolves. You know.
I love wolf dogs. Mm-hmm. I love Siberian Huskies.
Oh, they're so pretty.
And when I see someone with a half wolf, half like
man.
Or I would love it.
When I see a werewolf, I really
I saw someone with like a half, like this is when I start to get a little worried about people's like confidence, like I think what I would call maybe ignorant confidence, arrogance, sure. Like when, because now that they're breeding these wolves with dogs and people are like, oh, my dog's half wolf, and you
good
know,
for you psycho.
Yeah, yeah, it's like what are we doing here? And if there was somebody who had a half wolf dog off leash and I was like, I hope
that
it turns
with
on
you.
You.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Though I mean, the thing is like you're like wolves inherently are incapable of being domesticated. Like there's so many instances of a wolf attacking somebody who thinks they can domesticate one, and it's like it's actually just disrespecting a fucking predator. You know what I mean? To just be like, oh, it's cool, he likes me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's No, like there's a reason the term lone wolf exists. He doesn't want your fucking friendship. He's fine. Leave the goddamn wolves alone.
Dude, wolves are so cool. I have this friend who's from Alaska and he was working on in a gold mine in Alaska and they had a guard dog for just whatever animals. Like bears even will stay away if there's dogs just because they don't want the trouble. They'll move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a guard dog. So what the wolves did to take care of this because they wanted the food in there
is they sent
a menstruating wolf alone to walk through the middle of the camp. And then the guard dog smelled the menstruation or whatever and trotted out after her to like quarter or whatever. And then whoom, the whole pack of wolves just came out of nowhere. They were hiding within lunging sight and just devoured.
Have you seen movie Wolf Puncher?
I just like, I want him to watch movies with me.
No. Wolf Puncher sounds
great.
Well,
that's what we call it. I don't know who we is. Me and a couple people. But I've never even seen the full movie, but I've only seen parts of it on like, but it's Liam Neeson, where he's this guy who works like security.
Oh, I saw that.
Where he works security
about.
In like someplace like Alaska or Greenland or somewhere where they have to like keep wolves away from the complex or from the work, from people and stuff. And I think it pretty much just ends with him like, he doesn't have any other weapons and it's just him. Because I think it was a plane crash or something.
And he's punching wolves.
And so now it's just like him, him versus the fucking wolves.
That sounds
and he's just
awesome.
Got nothing but his fucking fist. So it's just...
It's such a ridiculous film.
You know that
film.
Was written at the coffee bean on Sunset
for
by the Laugh Factory? This guy's imagining he's in Alaska punching wolves.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's. I really recommend watching at
it's
least part of the
It's actually an anti-Semitic allegory, I bet.
Oh.
Wait, what?
No, I was like, I never knew Jewish people to be portrayed as wolves.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just feel that everything's anti-Semitic. I'm not even Jewish.
Ryan, tell people where to find you.
Oh, people can find me RyanSingerComedy.com.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, Rising, RYSING.
Mm-hmm.
So Rising. People say Rising, although when Twitter first came out, I was like, oh, Rising.
Right.
It'll be easy. This is just another way of writing the word rising.
Right.
And
I think it's because
like
one Y and one I.
Yeah.
It would have to be two Ys, I think, for people to connect that.
Oh, like rise. Oh, yeah.
Rising.
Rising. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an inconsistent
re-spelling. But I think if I take the first two letters of my first name and the first four letters of my last name, and then you take the second two. Anyway, basically what you get is rising anger.
You also have a podcast yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called Me.
Wait, do I?
Are you lying?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I got a podcast. It's called
John Lovitz.
Things I really hate.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah, yeah, yeah. He's losing his mind.
Yeah.
And I'm reaping all the benefits. Then the curtain slowly closes. The Wedding Singer, one of the best movies.
Yep.
Because sometimes I always call it a podcast or I call it a mind cast.
Oh, okay.
It's called Me and Paranormal You. I interview people with paranormal experiences or abilities.
Ooh.
And then I also do like research projects on things like runes or like the Global Consciousness Project. I just talked to Dr. Roger Nelson today. He used to be part of Pear Labs at Princeton, which was like this abnormality. Like, if you ever saw the TV show Fringe, which was on FX, I believe that show was basically loosely based on the Pear Labs at Princeton, where they did all this like consciousness affecting like machines and all this really fringe experimental stuff.
Yeah.
And so he does the Global Consciousness Project, which measures like people's like global conscious empathy on like 9/11 and stuff like that. It's the famous research that they've done. But so it's stuff like that.
Cool.
Interviews like that. And then also research projects on things like that, where I just talk for an hour or so. You know, finding information on stuff, rabbit holes I go down.
Hell yeah.
So it's fun.
This was fun.
Me and Paranormal You.
Yeah.
Me and Paranormal You, yeah. So it's kind of like, hey, it's just me and you having a talk, but it's me and Paranormal You having a talk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
You're pretty cool stuff, dude.
Hey, thanks for doing it. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming
on. Also, hey, Jägermeister, black licorice, liqueurs.
And for those of you, I want you to know, Ryan's got the best hair in comedy.
He does.
Best hair in comedy.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Long, short, it always looks good.
It's a hostile gesture towards me, but still, it's a fantastic head of hair. All right, guys, have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening. Yeah, for sure. Thanks for listening. Brian's really crushing it. I had a clunky intro.
It's Tuesday. It's
you have a
week.
Horrible outro. Write us, email us, follow us, subscribe. Thank you to the new listeners that we have. Thank you to our old listeners at No Sir Pod, No Sir I Don't Like It Podcast at gmail.com. That's No Sir I Don't Like It Podcast at gmail.com. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Bye.
No Sir I Don't Like It. No Sir I Don't Like It. No Sir I Don't Like It. No Sir I Don't Like It.
No Sir I Don't Like It. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like
it. What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid
or what? What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter?
What is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.